Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke 10, 25 to 37. I expect for you this is a familiar passage, as it is for me. Let us hear the words that the Lord has for us. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was walking down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw him, he also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved to pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to the lawyer, "Go and do likewise." May God bless this reading of his holy word. Before I begin, 2 things. Again, I'd like to say thank you for inviting me to join you this morning. I just arrived in the Corning Big Flats Elmira area about a month ago, so it is nice to get to meet new folks and to get to know my community. I'd also like to point out that the title for this morning's message is adjective or verb, so you want to keep that in mind. My mother, Mary Ellen Jackson Cathy, at 90 years old, like most mature folks, has had many different titles over her lifetime. She has been known personally as a wife, a mother, an aunt, and grandmother, although she preferred the term Baba, as well as professionally as a middle school English teacher, preschool director, director of Christian education, and a published hymn writer. The last hymn that we sang was one of my mother's. Of all her many titles, the one that continues to reappear throughout her lifetime, even as she struggles with dementia, is that of the English teacher. My mom has no hesitancy in correcting anyone for inaccurate speech or writing. "Well said is well spoken," she would say. As a teenager, I would sometimes ask her to help me edit my papers, as she was an excellent proofreader and author herself. But I had to be prepared for her to call me out and edit my text, perhaps even diagram a sentence or two, all in an effort to help me strengthen my final product. I grew up in a time where diagramming sentences was not in vogue, and I always found this a tedious part of our overall editing lesson. I distinctly remembering that this was a weird little method that seemed just to confuse me more than anything else. What I do remember her saying over and over again is this: adjectives are what make people, places, and things come alive, Marcy. The more accurate the adjective, the more colorful the picture. But the verb is the action word. If you can do it, then it's a verb. This question of verb or adjective is an important one as we consider the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is possibly the best known and regularly referenced parable Jesus ever told. Both Christians and non-Christians alike like to refer to people who perform heroic and selfless acts as Good Samaritans. Stephen Patterson is a professor of religious and ethical studies at Wilmette University, and he notes that many stories in Jesus' time would begin with the following phrase: a priest and a Levite came by. Just as today we might begin a story with a doctor, a lawyer, and a priest walked by. Or they walked into a bar, usually. But that's a story for another day. The twist, of course, is that the crowd listening to Jesus, mainly the Jewish elite, are expecting that the hero of our story is going to be an Israelite. As Patterson puts it, yay, one of our kind, a regular guy like you and me. And he'll come to rescue the poor, wounded man. He'll save the day. Bazinga, as Sheldon Cooper of TV's Big Bang Theory would say, no such luck. Jesus goes on to tell the crowd that the hero of the story is a Samaritan. Yikes! Samaritans are not the good guys in the ancient world. The Israelites hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were called half-breeds, and they were traitors because they colluded with Syria against the Jews. So how could a Samaritan be the star of this story? Catherine Matthews writes about the Good Samaritan. It's not one of our own kind who saves the day. It's the enemy, the hated Samaritan, the guy who's definitely on the outside of our community of care. Samaritans don't worship like us. They don't hate the same people we hate, and they don't love the same people that we love. I have to say that these words really touched me, and I'd like for us to reflect on that for just a moment. They don't hate the same people we hate, and they don't love the same people we love. Honestly, after all the horrible news this week, this statement really makes me pause to consider, who is my neighbor? Who are our neighbors? As we read in the gospel this morning, the great commandment is that you shall love your neighbor, you should love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as church folks, I think we get the love your God part of this really well. But what are we doing about loving our neighbor? As you've read, I'm new to the area, and I just started as the head at the Chemung Valley Montessori School. One of the things that attracted me to CVMS is that it has an active peacemaking curriculum. In every classroom in our school, there is a peacemaker center. It features books about peacemakers and gives students an opportunity to learn about and reflect on how they can contribute to creating a peaceful world. I think this is a good example for each of us. We must foster or even demand peacemaking in our schools, in our communities, and in our world. I read someplace that we need peace warriors, which is kind of an oxymoron. or peace advocates, which of course doesn't sound quite as strong. But we need peacemakers for neighborliness. We need peacemakers for a better world. Being a good neighbor and a peacemaker doesn't have to be hard. We're not talking about grand, complicated gestures or sweeping acts. At the very least, it means exchanging a smile with a stranger on the street, offering to help get a food item off of a high shelf for a fellow shopper, or holding the door open for a neighbor whose hands are full. These are just a few of the endless number of small acts of kindness that could be easily done. And we need to do these things for all our neighbors, not just those that look like us, worship like us, vote like us, or live like us. As a teacher at heart, there is homework I'm going to assign you for this week. My challenge for you is that this week you actively do one act of kindness each day that involves someone you don't know, a new neighbor, so to speak. Remember, extending a helping hand, saying hello, or exchanging a smile with someone you greet in a parking lot or in a store. These aren't hard. They don't cost any money. And they are part of making our daily lives better. I'm sure that there are many other things that you can think of. And I'll come back another week and see how you did. Thinking again of my mother's English lesson, the question still remains. Are you going to be an adjective or a verb? Are you going to describe the things, or are you going to do things? Are you going to talk the talk, or are you actually going to walk the walk? Jesus gave us clear instructions. It is not enough to help or love our own. We must help all. We must love all. We must go and do likewise. Amen.